We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
A very merry Draftmas to all of you. We are here at Kingdom Bar and Grill recapping day two of the 2022 NFL Draft. We'll look ahead to day three as well, but boy, if you're a Chiefs fan right now, you gotta feel real good about where the Kansas City Chiefs are sitting. I'm here sitting with my pals, feeling real good. Matty Lane, Craig Stouts, Matthew. How you feeling right now?
What? I'm sky high right now. Let me tell you,
sky high with two Y's.
Yes, because this was a fantastic day two of the NFL draft. Brett Veach, like, we're pretty critical of Brett Veach when it comes to draft selections. Even last year when the draft clearly turned out pretty well, we weren't necessarily leaving the draft feeling great about it, right? It's like, okay, we get it. We don't know if we love these guys. Not only do I get this draft, not only do I like these players, this is one good mother bleeping draft class through 2 days. Like, every pick besides one is a certified banger, and even the other one, you don't have to skip it. It's just, it's a good song you can listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, the grades that we've given for this draft class so far, if you were watching the live stream that we did yesterday, we will be doing one tomorrow as well. But if you were watching the grades, they were sky high. I mean,
they were cooking with fire.
They let Brett cook. And you know what? They got some real Leo. I can't even pull that one off. But you know, they got some great players. They really did. I think
I'm Chenal in on this draft.
Yeah, there you go. I like the mentality that they've added with the guys in this draft. I love when we get to this point in the draft, and then we'll see a little bit more of it early on in day three. You kind of get a shape of the things that they focus on in each draft class, and it seems like there is a very clear physicality and a mentality that they tried to achieve through this draft class, and to extreme success with athletic, good players.
They really wanted to get more alphas on the team.
Yes, Leo the Lions. Sure.
That's not bad. I just, you know, like, if you're checking all these boxes off, Maddie's losing it. We're a little loopy because we've done a lot of draft coverage after the last 2 years, but 2 days. But if you know, you kind of like, you're looking at the Chiefs checking some boxes. They got younger. One of the things they got, you know, what they needed to do. Bunch of 21-year-olds and Brian Cook.
Mm-hmm.
More athletic. They definitely did that and Brian Cook. When I'm not slandering Brian Cook because he's a very good football player. They got that toughness, that mentality, that aggressiveness, that physicality. There's tones being set across this team. I think Brian Cook might be the biggest tone setter when it's really, all said and done.
I mean, he's ridiculously physical as well. And again, high football character. We talked about, talk about all that stuff all the time. You know, Steve Spagnuolo, Brett Veach, Andy Reid does as well. Andy Reid was giddy about George Karloftis and the motor and the way he plays the game. I imagine when we hear from Andy Reid again about the guys selected on day two, it's got to go even up another notch. And that's not a slight to Karloftis because he plays with that level. It's just these guys do as well. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, no, it was a great day. It was a great day for the draft. We like all these guys. If you guys haven't, you know, if you want the takes that we have on the players the Chiefs drafted on day two, jump over to the KC Sports Network YouTube page. Go back there. We have podcasts reacting to every single pick they made. We have the live show that spanned the entire day. You guys can check those out. Like and subscribe it while you're there. But today and now, we got to get ready. It's day three. It's time for the third day. This is where some people say where you win the draft. I highly disagree. I could not disagree more. You win the draft in the first 62 picks, most likely. But at worst, the first 2 days. You don't win the draft today, but you can certainly round it out with some good players. And the board's looking pretty good right now.
I mean, if they just hit on a couple of these day three picks on
one,
top of...
Just one.
They don't need to be the best draft class that Brett Veach has had
yet.
Oh,
no. But
are you saying that day three picks don't matter, Craig?
I did not say anything.
Watch yourself.
I did not say anything because I don't want Marquand McCall to hunt me down and murder me in my sleep.
I think, you know, I'm just saying, like, the way that this board has played out so far and the way the Chiefs have drafted so far, if they can hit on one or two of these guys, there's a potential. Or if they get value to fall to them, gosh, there's a chance that this is like, this is one of the, this could be a Saints draft, that 2017 Saints draft where they
except it may not be isolated because he did just build off of another good draft last
that's
year.
That's true.
That Saints draft was very isolated amongst a lot of meh. There, which a lot of teams do. I'm not trying to, say that it's not, but last year was a very good draft. If this is a very, very good draft, like, there's reason to get excited, and it could be because of the value that they find at day three.
Well, and maybe they move up a little bit for this value because the Chiefs did acquire an extra day three pick today with a small trade back, which, I mean, I'm just remembering now part of the brilliance of how they played this board today. It's because they moved back four spots, got pick 158 as part of a deal, and then still were able to draft Sky Moore. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've got 135, 158, and then four seventh-round picks to play with tomorrow. I don't think they're making six picks. I would be surprised if they do.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of hard to move around with some of those seventh-rounders, but maybe in the fourth round. And in the fifth round, you decide you want to jump up two spots just to go jump somebody. You'll have the ability to do it. Maybe you package a couple of these sevenths and move into the sixth or the fifth next year, something like that. We'll see what they do, but let's look at the board, right? Let's go start looking at the board now. Just look at some guys that we think are going to be kind of good value that's left. So, like, let's just throw Perrion Winfrey. Why in the world is he available?
I have no clue.
There has to be medicals. Has to be medicals.
I think we're now – okay, yeah, you're right. It probably is, but we're now far enough down that you're going to start hearing the reason why. We got to see Albert Breer, I think, tweeted out why N'Kobe Dean was falling so far. We've kind of hit that range with Perrion Winfrey where we should start seeing the reason why he's falling. Let's look at some other guys that we think are some, good values left on the board. Guy that the KCSN draft guys really high on, Jalen Armour Davis out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is a guy with limited starter experience and a lot of injury histories in the past, so it makes sense that he's sliding a little bit, but you stick to that same position. Tariq Woolen was getting gaslit as a potential round one pick.
Remember round one Tariq Woolen conversation?
He's still available. Joshua Williams, this is still about the right range for him, but he's a really good football player.
And
still
I thought
available.
The teams might come up for that length. But
they did.
They did.
Just other guys.
Well, I thought that maybe Joshua Williams was a sneaky guy. I want to start with Perrion Winfrey here because when we look at the defensive tackles, like on the KCSN board that we've ranked here, the only guy that has gone after Perrion Winfrey in the KCSN top 20 at defensive tackle, interior defensive line, is Fedarian Mathis. It is a bad D tackle class. So it's not like Perrion Winfrey is falling below, the 12th, 13th, 14th defensive tackle. There still have only been six guys off the board there, depending on how you rank some of those guys and move them inside. But there's still only been six guys, and we had Perrion Winfrey at number six. It's just a little surprising because he seemed like more of a round two lock, a three tech, a potential explosive player that can really get after the passer. And we know how prized those are in the NFL. So to see him here, I think that there's a lot of value not only with him, but I bring that up because there's a ton of other value here. Matthew Butler, Thomas Booker, Marquand McCall that I mentioned. There's a lot of guys like that we like.
Yeah.
Smart, physical players that they seem to be targeting here that could be, targets for the Chiefs here.
I look at the cornerback group, too. I look at a lot of guys that we still haven't seen fly off the board. You talk about Jalen Armour Davis. I like Kobe Bryant, a Caleb Evans. I mean, some of these guys, Jalen Watson. Joshua Williams, like you just said, like some of these guys make a lot of sense for the Chiefs potentially too. Just at the corner position, we can go position by position and look at where some of these guys at. The edge I think thinned out a little bit, but the Chiefs took care of their edge position. But You still got.
No, you should definitely. They should still definitely dip an edge. Right? Yeah. That is one position I did want to look at real quick because that's the one position where I don't think you're seeing a lot of great value. Right.
I agree. Yeah.
Michael Clemens, we all like, but he's an older guy, not a lot of upside. He kind of is what he is.
He is a day three guy.
Hey,
and I think we've always put him as a day three
guy. If he falls to like
guy.
Round seven, you're thrilled with a guy like that.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm happy with him in round four or five. I just mean like we're going to like, so you got a Michael Clemens, Tyreek Smith. I like the potential as a pass rusher, but he's very limited in what he can do. Mm-hmm. Dominique Robinson, very Steve Spagnuolo-esque guy, especially since he packed on some weight and has the length. But, you know, he's again, an older guy, just switched to a defensive end. It's a progress. Kingsley Nubari, I think, is a guy to keep your eye on, actually, out of South Carolina.
Yeah.
You want to tell me a
down
guy,
here? Day three?
You want to tell me if I just looked at a guy on a football field and said, pick out the Steve Spagnuolo defensive end?
Kingsley and Obari. They were getting him. If they were getting him tomorrow, that's another grand slam home run pick.
We had Kingsley and Obari, you know, mocked the Chiefs at the end of second. You know,
round one during the season.
I know, yeah, during the season. But even as the process was going along here, there was a lot of people that likened that to maybe pick 62 because it is such an obvious Steve Spagnuolo fit. Now in round four or this round five pick that they've now acquired because they traded back. And still got Sky Moore. I mean, you can address a couple positions, double up, take some more swings at the position, add some more depth to your room.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Jeff Gunter.
I'd like
Jeffrey Gunter also there. So, I mean, the edge position, there's still some interesting types. I bet you they double dip.
They should. And like I said, none of those players are bad. Just I think they're all coming in off the right spot. Like those are all day three guys that should be there. We've mentioned some other guys that we could have seen going a little bit earlier. Or like you want to jump back to tight end. Kate Otten out of Washington still available.
Sign me up.
Charlie Kolar's picked up, and Isaiah Likely. I know both those guys have some fans around the league. Mm-hmm. They're still available right now, right? So, like, there's some value to other positions. I mean, okay, listen.
I want to go back to the interior defensive line, too. Otito Agbanya, John Ridgeway.
Yeah.
Some of those kind of guys, too, along the interior. Those more like one-tech types.
Yeah, no, those guys as well. I have one guy. So, I'm looking through kind of just like my horizontal board right now where I have things stacked. I have three players that I still put, Malik Willis and Sam. Malik Willis, did he end up going yet?
Yes, he did.
But Sam Howell did not, correct?
Correct.
I have Sam Howell, who's a quarterback, it doesn't matter. I have.
Quarterbacks don't matter.
Jalen Armour Davis, who we already touched on. Perrion Renfrey, who we already touched on. These guys are all late round twos. I have one more late round two valued guy. Isaiah Spiller, running back out of Texas A&M.
There you go.
Now, I didn't want a running back earlier, but you tell me the Chiefs come out and take Isaiah Spiller?
In round four?
In round four?
Absolutely.
Sign me up.
That's a physical runner. You go back 2 years ago. This past year wasn't as good, but Texas A&M was a little more up and down. You go 2 years ago or when he was a freshman, he was all the rage.
Now, people thought, there was that one point, like in early in his career, people thought he was like, okay, this is This guy's going to be a first-round back eventually.
He's not the fastest guy, but I you want to talk about the direction the Chiefs are going with more power, more gap schemes. He's a great gap scheme runner. He's very good at reading it out, getting downhill. So, like, that's just a guy that's a position that I don't think we talk about a ton. A 6'1", 215-pound bulldozer of a running back.
I'm not mad at it.
Production in the SEC.
I mean, I'm really not mad at that in the day three.
There's so many players on the side. Matt Willetsko, let me talk about the tackle. Rasheed Walker.
Yeah, let's talk about tackle a little bit. Right tackle is one of those sneaky picks that we've talked about a handful of times as being a potential upgrade. I don't know that you're looking at a guy drafted in this range that you're going, okay, that guy's definitively starting over a Lucas Niang, starting over an Andrew Wiley. You know, it takes a little time to get adjusted to the way that Patrick Mahomes, you know, kind of gets back in his drops and everything. Like, it just does. It takes time. But as a project guy, as a little bit of insurance, this is a wonderful spot for a Matt Willetsko.
You're absolutely right, Craig.
Yeah.
We talked about, there's another guy we talked about at right tackle, Max Mitchell.
Yeah.
I mean, Max Mitchell would be a really fun pick here. We've had conversations about, well, I'm not sure Max Mitchell couldn't step in and compete to play right tackle for the Chiefs relatively quick, if I'm being honest with you. I like him a lot as well.
Zach Tom's another guy I know a lot of people are fans of. Now the issue with all these guys besides Willetsko have under 34-inch arms.
Yeah.
And we know that's kind of where Andy starts to get a little bit hesitant, right? Like, I'm trying to search through here and see where the other super long guys are. And that's when you get into the guys that do, you know, we think belong down here. Your Gene Delancey's, your Verdarian Lowe's. Like, the guys...
I do like Gene Delancey.
Right. The UConn tackle that came in to visit, right?
Ryan Vandermark.
Yeah, Ryan Vandermark. That's a fun one.
Those guys are all day three guys, though, right? So, like, I mean, they're good players, don't get me wrong, but I'm just looking for the value. Unfortunately, outside of a Willetsko, all my favorite tackles fall under or outside the Andy thresholds. Maybe you were looking at a Jamari Sawyer, but he's still 33.5-inch arms. Like, you know, good players that just don't have his typical arm length.
Right. And, you know, I think Andy's going to focus on that. You might see some of those guys drafted, and he likes the flexibility of being able to play tackle, but maybe they project as more of a guard. And he's done that a ton of times.
Here's one. Darian Kennard, the right tackle out of Kentucky.
Yeah.
A lot of people think he might kick inside because he's not the most athletic, not the most fleet of foot guy, but 6'5", 322 pounds, 35-inch arms. That's a big dude who's got tackle experience who playing at Kentucky. It's in worst case scenario, he's a utility guy. He plays guard, right? So it's just,
well,
this is
even, yeah, I mean, yeah, but this is like, that's an Andy Reid special, right?
Unless he was drafted, which is entirely
possible. I was getting ready to look up there because I think he may have been drafted. I believe the Jacksonville Jaguars traded back in for him.
Okay, there you go.
I he's a good player, but there are lots of guys like that. There seem to be a handful of tackles that the Chiefs could try and address. They can play a little bit outside, inside. You're looking at
Darian Kennard's still available.
Yeah, wow. He's still available. That's, yeah.
Luke Fortner, his teammate,
that's
was
who
I was supposed to try.
That's
Luke
exactly
Fortner. Luke
of.
Fortner came off the board. Darian Kennard is confirmed still
wow.
available.
I would
Good
take,
night.
My goodness, I would.
What
take
is
Darian
happening?
Kennard.
This draft is fun.
Let's talk a little bit here, just real quick. Wide receiver.
Yeah, that's what I was going next to.
Yeah,
perfect.
Wide receiver. Eric Ezekanma is still on the board. Kyle Phillips is still on the board. Maybe not a guy that makes a ton of sense, but Sky Moore on the board.
Same with Calvin Austin.
Same with Calvin
but
Austin.
But at this point in time, do I care?
Yeah.
Do
I
even care
about
50 more?
You're raising the floor of the overall receiver room with those guys.
Khalil Shakir.
Khalil Shakir is under the same thing. But Romeo Doubs. I mean, guys like that that can come in.
Bo Melton.
And Bo Melton is still on the board.
Samori Toure.
I do love me some Samori
Toure. I'm just telling you,
just
man.
Give me easy, and like we can just roll on out.
I mean, easy is a great pick.
And
I,
it would make a lot of sense with Sky Moore, right?
So
like that pairing
sense.
Is one of the most perfect pairings that you're going to kind of come
oh
across.
Oh, my goodness.
I think.
If they do that with their wide receiver room, like I'm feeling really, really good going
now,
into this season.
And counterpoint, maybe they feel good about wide receiver now with Sky Moore, too.
Sure.
They have a lot of bodies. If you're going to just say Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, Doris Fountain, one of those guys, Cornell Powell, one of those guys provides something as a receiver, they'll probably feel like they're set.
I mean, how many guys are they going to keep on their active roster?
Still,
six?
I don't care.
Five?
Give me easy. Give me Dwayne Bowe 2.0.
I'm fine with it. You're not going to have to twist my arm very hard to get a guy like that. Adding another weapon, especially since a lot of those guys are on one-year deals or expiring contracts, or you can even get out of their deals if, you know, in the case of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, play the board. I mean, that's really why what not? We're just, talking about here. We're play the board.
Gosh, they're just playing with house money right now.
In Vegas.
In Vegas, playing with house money.
Walk away from the table, Brett.
They have six players left on the board. Or six picks left on the board to make. I'll ask you this real quick. How many picks do they make tomorrow?
Six picks on the table.
Four. Make four.
I'm going to say three. I think that they're going to trade. Now, I think they're going to trade some assets for some players.
Okay, let's open up that can of worms. Do you think there's any kind of package of picks that's still available for the Chiefs that could go to, I don't know, say the Chicago Bears for Robert Quinn?
No.
You don't
not
think
enough.
I don't
you don't think so.
Do you think,
unless you're trading your future
no,
pick.
No, just listen to me. Do you think pick 100 could get you Robert Quinn? Just out of curiosity.
Pick what?
Pick 100.
Probably.
Do you think pick 100 gets you a guy that had 18 and a half sacks last year?
Yeah, I don't think that it's just about, like, one, it's the age and then the money he's due. Those two things aren't particularly great to trade at this point in time. I actually think that he's not going to go for that much. Isn't he kind of getting traded? His last two trades have been for like less and less each time, right?
He's off a career year.
But he's old.
He's 32. 18 and a half sacks.
That's old.
Would you trade all six picks right now for Robert Quinn?
Yes.
That's why I was asking. That's about the value of the 100
pick. Gotcha.
I'm just saying, like, I guess I don't think it was quite that. I didn't think the price would be that high based on everything we saw. So anyway, that was just.
I think you're going to have a hard time getting Robert Quinn away from the Bears for that price point.
I don't know. Maybe I can get Justin Fields the way they're drafting.
Good Lord.
Let's put this out there. What if you traded all of your seventh round draft picks for James Bradberry? You're taking on a big contract there. You can trade it. Maybe not all, two or three. I don't think that's the direction this team wants to go.
I don't think they need to anymore either, because like they got a corner that steps in and starts.
Sure, they
so
absolutely
like, yeah, I don't
did.
Think you have to actually go
and
chase
down
Bradberry.
I don't know that the mentality of that lines up with a lot of the other moves that they're doing, but there may be some players that we see them add that are more depth pieces. Things like, you know, we saw Jordan Lucas traded for a future seventh or a future sixth at one point. A guy that was mostly a special teamer. I mean, there are a lot of guys like that, especially in a draft this deep. You may see some GMs that draft guys and go, oh, that made another guy expendable. Let's see what we can get for him.
So I think the Chiefs are going to make one, two, three. I think they're going to make, I'm going to call it four picks. They're going to use 135 and 158 to get up into the early fourth, be aggressive to handpick one guy. They're going to trade one seventh-round pick for a future sixth in the 2023 NFL draft, and they'll make two picks in the seventh round. That's kind of my prediction.
Yeah,
or three picks in the second round, I'm sorry. So
I think it's four. That's what I'm sitting on. I think whether it's the fourth round or the fifth round, I think they use two sevenths to jump up a couple spots and get a guy that they really want to make sure that they get, that they just don't feel comfortable falling, and they make two seventh-round picks. That's what I'm looking at.
And
right
when
now.
You get down to when you get down to round four, round five, the trade chart becomes a little bit less
significant.
So
at that point,
if you offer pick volume, you can move up. Like you talk about moving up at value, you could probably get back up to probably like one.
Just I don't care. Just trade the Vikings.
I was going to say, hey, do either one of you care about day three pick value at this point as far as trade goes? If you are getting a player and you have to give up an extra seventh to do it, are you really holding out?
No. I only care about the first 10 to 15 picks on day three, because that's when you restack the board. I'm sure that once I sit here and look at this, I'll come up with roughly 10 names I think that are still worthy of being above everyone else.
I think there may be more than that in this draft, but I get your general thought.
Yeah, yes. But that's just my general line of thinking. So like once you get I wouldn't move around from those top 10, but once I'm outside that, no, I don't care if I'm losing point value or not. So.
Yeah. I think I think it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see what happens. Six picks. I mean, the Chiefs have only made five picks. They have six picks on the board still left. I mean, theoretically, they could take more picks tomorrow than they have this entire draft and wind up with 11 players that they get into their system.
Crazy.
You know, I don't hate the idea of the volume either. Just taking some swings and a couple of these guys surprising and flashing and seeing what happens. Like, letting the Chiefs. Look, the Chiefs have had a lot of success this week letting the value fall to them.
Absolutely.
And you could make an argument that the Trent McDuffie pick was still letting value fall to them. I just can't. I'm flabbergasted that need and value have met so well this weekend.
There's just been, I mean, Brett Veach has been kind of all over this, right? And it was pretty evident on day one, super evident on day two. I don't think value's falling to them. I think they've been hunting it down. I think they've purposely been putting themselves in situations to get the value more so than just letting it fall. I mean, like, yes, Leo Chanel fell to you. Yes, George Karloftis, but like, that was you reading the situation, knowing that those kind of guys might fall to
he's
where
been ahead. He's been ahead
right.
of it.
He's never fallen. Now, Leo Chanel, I actually think that one you just kind of get lucky on because there's a lot of linebackers going.
But we saw the edge run. We saw the DB
right.
run. We saw the safety run. Like,
right.
Brett
the next
was
group of,
ahead of that.
He was in the middle of that that mm-hmm. wide receiver run, but he got the guy he wanted even after trading around. So it's just, yep. I think he's been really good maneuvering around this draft, knowing when to stay, knowing when to go up. And like, I don't think it's as much as stuff's fallen necessarily to him as much as that.
He has a good idea on where.
Yeah, he's had a really, yeah, he's had
when
yeah,
I say that, yeah, I'm not just saying he's stumbling into it. They have just done a fantastic job navigating the board. They're dominating.
Let's hope that continues.
Maybe before we get out of here, do we think he's getting a lot better at this?
Yes, 100%.
Someone is.
Somebody is.
I'm not saying it's not Brett Veach. I'm just saying someone is.
I mean, he's putting those types of people around.
I think.
So,
I think
I mean, he's responsible for it one way or another.
I think it's Brett. I really genuinely think it's Brett. I think he's done a fantastic job. The growth over the last couple of years has been outstanding. I think it's him and a lot of people probably.
Before we get out of here, one player that you want to see the Chiefs draft tomorrow, we got to roll, let everybody get ready to go see the draft here.
Marquand McCall.
Who's
listen,
that?
Marquand McCall, nose tackle out of Kentucky.
Okay.
I listen, man, they have added somebody on every level of the defense that is willing to run through your face and make you sorry that you had to line up across from them. Marquand McCall would be the epitome of that on the interior of the defensive line. I'm backflips. Just backflips.
I'll do something a little bit off the beaten path. I'm going to go with Pierre Strong Jr., the running back out of South Dakota State. Really quality pass protector. Kind of surprised. I think he had a chance to sneak in the back end of this round. I think he's got pass catcher traits. Good pass protector. I think he's a little bit like, it's almost like he's light on his feet, but he's also a little bit rigid. It's kind of a weird running style, but I really like the player a lot. I think he has pretty good vision, some long speed, obviously, and making sure you get a Shrine Bowl player, right? I think we got to get one of those at least before we get out of here, right?
I think the low hanging fruit's Perrion Winfrey. Like, you want to talk about making someone miserable, but I'm not going to take her. I'm going with the big my guy, Eric Azukanma out of Texas Tech, wide receiver. I think his comp is really Treylon Burks. Like, I joke around, it's Dwayne Bowe. There's a little bit of that, but his comp is being Treylon Burks, but more explosive and slightly smaller. I think that's a great pairing with Sky Moore. You get that bigger X receiver, guy that works really good after the catch in the dirty areas. I think that's a perfect pairing with Sky Moore. So if the Chiefs come away with him tomorrow, I am going to be ecstatic.
Chiefs should just mess around and get all three of those guys.
Okay.
That is going to do it for the recap of day two and the look ahead to day three. Thank you all so much for listening. It's been so much fun. Doing all this at Kingdom Bar and Grill. For Craig Stout, Maddie Lane, we'll catch you later.
We out.